Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hand off to Cook, finds a hole on the left side, and he is in for a one-yard touchdown run. The Cook is in the kitchen for the 16th time on the ground this season, and with that touchdown run, Cook, the NFL leader in rushing touchdowns coming into the game, has tied O.J. Simpson for the most rushing touchdowns in a season by a Buffalo Bill.
The year of the running back, to a degree. James Cook had a heck of a year. Derrick Henry had a heck of a year. Rushing stats, Saquon 2,000 yards, Henry 1921. If Henry had 20 more carries, he would have been right there at 2,000 with Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's James Cook with a nice season as well. 1,000 yards.
Most touchdowns in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Which after, did he have two in his career rushing before this season?
Yeah,
16 was a big surprise.
And the distance on those touchdowns, a lot of big plays.
Yeah.
The year of the running back, joining us on the Western Hotline to preview Bills Ravens and talk running backs, Bills legend, Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas. Thurman, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, always a pleasure.
Oh, it's great to be talking, guys, especially when y'all talking about running backs.
Well, hey.
This is a good year for you.
Yeah, man. How have you enjoyed the year of the running back resurgence in the NFL?
I've enjoyed it a lot this year, really. I'm a little disappointed. I thought Saquon should have went for the record. You don't get that close to some record like that that's been still for, 30, 40 years held by Eric Dickerson. I understand, you worry about injuries and all that. But it's been a great running year for all the running backs. So happy to see that come alive a little bit. But I still think, the value of the running back is not there like it was, and it probably never will be again. But it's great to see a couple of old guys come to the forefront.
Yeah, that's the other part of it. The longevity we're seeing from some of these guys, whether it's Josh Jacobs in Green Bay or Barkley or Derrick Henry, like these guys have managed to take care of themselves. I'm waiting to see if Nick Chubb can come all the way back. I mean, he's a great running back that suffered an injury. So for whatever reason, these guys are sticking around a little bit longer.
Yeah, it is. And I think, Jeremy, I think when you look at why they're coming back, it's coming back real slow, but I think the rise has been is that all these defenses have prepared for, guys passing the ball 40 and 50 times a game. And now all of a sudden you get these coaches now, they're saying, hey, we're going to run it now more than enough because you're going against guys that are, not the 300-pounders, the 275, 280-pounders that are used to trying to get to the quarterback. So it's flipped a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be anything that, the league is going to switch to and start doing again.
Yeah. Yeah, we see the Ravens do it with a fullback. The Bills do it with an extra offensive lineman, Alec Anderson. So, commitment to the run game. Thurman, let's start with the Bills. It's something that, they talked about quite a bit, complimentary football, however you want to say it. Sean McDermott, his vision of this team and hiring Joe Brady and other offensive coordinators along the way, complimentary football and maybe an ability to play in January in a way that they haven't before. Do you think they are better equipped to do that this year than years past?
Yeah, I think they are. I really do think they are. And I think, obviously, it all starts with Josh, but I think people are really underestimating that this offensive line has had one hell of a football year. I mean, they have. I mean, protecting Josh and with the running game, and then you have a three-headed monster in James Cook, Ray Davis, and Ty Johnson. So, I do think it's built, and I think it's built for Sunday, too. I think that's exactly what you're going to see out of this football team. It's going to be very, very, very cold, and so I do expect a real physical football game out of the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, it's just amazing to me that we've talked about all season long about the best two players in the National Football League being Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And it's coming down to this game. And just the storyline of it is, like, these two teams are itching at the bit to get to the next level, which is the Kansas City Chiefs. Both of them have a lot to prove against the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I think Sean McDermott and his coaching staff have done a great job of preparing this team for this moment. And it is the moment, and I'm glad it's at home.
All right. It is funny that this game feels like it's for everything, and it is for the right to go to Kansas City next week, so which is going to be tough in its own right. And it's like, you know, like the winner of this doesn't get MVP, Thurman, but that's been such – a topic throughout the season. You won an MVP. Like, how different is it? Like, was it at all a conversation during those seasons? Like, hey, I might win MVP versus now, where it just felt like it was a bombardment of it every week.
Yeah, you know what? I can't even remember, you know, even talking about it last the year that I won it in 1991. Only thing that I remember is that Jim Kelly always telling me because he came in second that year, telling me that, you know, half of that MVP is mine because I threw you the ball and handed you the ball off so many times. So, it's been, God, you know what? And I've been telling people, like, you know, hey, look, yes, I thought Josh should have maybe won at least one MVP in the last 3 or 4 years. And but, you know, with going back and forth, and I see it on Twitter with the Baltimore fans, with the Bills fans, it's just been too much for me. And I've just laid it out on the line and said, hey, look, I just want Josh to win the MVP of the Super Bowl. That means we get a Super Bowl victory. So, but you know what? Both of these guys have had outstanding seasons. And it probably will go to Lamar because I think he was named first team All-Pro. And usually that's how it goes. But, you know, Josh has been so great for this organization and so great for this city that, you know what? I truly believe his words that he said a couple of weeks ago is like, yeah, that doesn't matter. I just want to help this football team win and this city win a Super Bowl.
Thurman Thomas joining us on the Western Hotline. Thurman, I'm wondering about, you know, playing a team early in the year and then playing them again. You know, Baltimore got the 35-10 win the first time around. And I'm kind of hanging my hat on the idea that three, four games in, this offense, and maybe the defense too, in a year in transition, might have still kind of been figuring out who they are. And now, you know, 3 months later, we're looking at a team that knows exactly, 3-4 months later, exactly who they are. And especially, yeah, you know, the offensive identity between the first matchup and the second matchup has changed, to my eye, quite a bit.
Yeah, it definitely has. I think what... Bernard wasn't playing, Johnson wasn't playing, and I think it was somebody else. Did Matt Milano play?
Right. All three of those guys out. Yeah.
All three of those guys out. And I tell you what, I looked at Matt Milano this past game against Denver, and, you know, I think that play that he made against Bo Nix on the sideline, I mean, he was full go. He was full go, and I think that's something that that this defense has been missing, and hopefully he can make a couple of plays. I think he will be able to. But like you said, things have changed dramatically since – you know, week four, and I think Baltimore's gotten better, and obviously the Bills have gotten better. So, yeah, it's going to be this is a tough game. I've been going through it ever since I told you the other day, yeah, I want to be on the show. My mind has been racing to try to figure out, you know, what can be the tipping point for trying to get one of these teams. Obviously, I want the Bills to win to get them over the hump. And I actually went back and looked at some of the highlights in week four and looked at them and said, you know what, this is a totally different football team than week four. And I'm talking about both teams. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be an outstanding game. And you know what, it's one of those games where, you know what, Jeremy, it might come over to, you know, who turns the ball over the least and – special teams. I think special teams is going to play a big part in this. Tucker and Bass, they might be the key to this victory, whoever wins.
Thurman, you're an expert on running backs. How about Derrick Henry? in the history of the position, when it comes to one of your favorites to watch, appreciate, players maybe he reminds you of, when you watch Henry, you know, what's the feeling?
Oh, man. I mean, when I watch him, he's the best player on the football field. I think that he's the best player on the football team, and I was looking at his stats and where he's at right now. I mean, by the time that he finishes his career, he'll probably be in the top 10 of rushing all time. And I think if he continues this stunt with the Baltimore Ravens, that he will be in the top 10. It's been amazing to see him at such a big guy and still have the speed that he has. And I looked at and tried some things. He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he takes care of his body year round. So, and I think it's a perfect fit for the Baltimore Ravens and what they do with Lamar Jackson. So this guy's probably going to play another 3 years probably. I mean, because, think about it. He's probably in the best position that he's been in, and you're talking about some great years with the Tennessee Titans. And now he's with the Baltimore Ravens, who love to run the football, and it's a great situation for them. So definitely top 10 when he leaves the game.
What about on the Bills side at running back and Cook in his development, even? Because Thurman, like, we thought he was going to be just a pass catching back when he was first drafted, and his vision has seemed to improve. There's been talk that even his speed has, that he worked on his power and speed in the offseason. And I didn't really think that was something, Thurman, you could get a lot better at, like, just your speed, but we are noticing him break out runs and beat defenders to the edge, I think, this year much more often.
Yeah, it's been a very surprise. Yeah, I've always thought that James Cook has had good speed, but I think this year has really opened my eyes to see, like, damn, this guy got really good speed. And then I've been on the field a couple of times before the games and stood next to him. He's a pretty thick young man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's very well built, nice thighs, you know, nice arms. And, you know, like I said, and I tell you the one thing that I've loved about him this year, is that he's been more physical than he was the past couple of years. He's been taking on DBs. He's been taking on linebackers. So, yeah, his game has definitely improved. And for, what, he had 16 touchdowns this year?
Yep.
I mean, that was incredible, right? And his pass-catching ability, I think he dropped a couple of passes this year. But you know what? When you got a guy like Ty Johnson coming in on third down, I mean, he's done an absolutely fabulous job. Just had a nice conversation with him yesterday. So, yeah, this running back group has really impressed me throughout the year, and I think they're going to be a big part of this, hopefully, victory against the Baltimore Ravens Sunday.
Yeah, when they figured out along the way Ty Johnson could be a big part of this offense, it's another thing I look at in those losses like Houston and Baltimore, that passes did not go to running backs. It was still kind of an offense trying to find its way. Maybe it's Ty Johnson, maybe it's James Cook, you know, Ray Davis, of course, a big part of it as well. You feel like passing to running backs has been a big part of what they do.
Yeah, and I think there'll be a big part of this this game plan too, because I'm looking at the matchup. There's no way that Roquan Smith can stay in a route running with James Cook. There's no way. You know, he's a big physical running back, but he can't run with guys. You know what I'm saying? And he's built for the run game. So I do think that the Bills have an opportunity to take care of some business against Baltimore Ravens linebackers with Ty Johnson and James Cook.
Thurman Thomas with us. How about the overall kind of the offensive identity, Thurman, as the season's gone on, the everybody eats mantra? Like, how did you think about that when it kind of started, like after they trade Diggs, and that was kind of the build up to the season, and then how it's progressed? Because I can't really imagine that the Bills, you know, could have hoped it gone any better than it has.
Yeah, I couldn't have. I don't think anybody could have hoped it has gone better than it has. I mean, hey, look, they've stuck with that, you know, everybody eats situation, and everybody has. And I think that's really the maturity of Josh Allen. I think Joe Brady has realized that, hey, you know what, all the pressure is not to throw the Diggs every single play or what have you, you know, to spread the ball around. And you know what? They have weapons. They have weapons on this football team. Knox, Kincaid, you know what, and very surprising. Now look for Curtis Samuel to really try to have a breakout game against Baltimore too. I think, you know, with that TD reception last week against the Broncos, you know, he was hurt at the beginning of training camp and really never got into the flow of the offense. So you know, I look for him to do great things. So, yeah, I really kind of love this offense. And like I said, it all starts with number 17, the maturity of him throughout the year. I mean, it's been unbelievable to watch him, and it's been great to watch this offense, really.
Finally, Thurman, before we let you go, you've been a legend of the game before. You know, you've done the pregame thing. Fitz, this time around, did the legends of the game share tips and tricks to get the best performance out there? What kind of pressure is there to perform in that moment?
There's no pressure.
All right.
There's no pressure in the legend of the game. There's no pressure. Who's doing it this week?
It's Fitz.
Oh, it's Fitz.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we got to think he's taking his shirt off,
yeah,
right?
Maybe.
There's no pressure right there. This will probably be the loudest one of the year right here with Fitz doing it. Yeah, I'm assuming it's going to be, what, 8 degrees? You know the shirt is coming off.
Yeah.
You know the shirt is coming off.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. And, yeah, hopefully the Bills can pull this out, because it's even bigger one the following week.
Last thing, 8 degrees. As a runner of the football, do you feel like it hurts more in this cold, or do you know that it hurts the defenders more? Like, who feels it more in physical games? Is it the hitter or the hitty when it's 8 degrees?
Well, when it's 8 degrees, Jeremy, my mindset is always, you know, I'm going to deliver the blow. I'm not going to let the defensive player deliver the blow. I'm going to deliver the blow, and because I have the football, and I know where I'm going, and I know that I can get guys off balance and really deliver a nice blow to them. So I'm going to advantage for the running backs.
All right. Thurman, enjoy the game. Thanks, as always.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Go Bills.
Thurman Thomas.
Thanks, Thurman.
Bills legend Thurman Thomas in the year of the running back, Derrick Henry v. James Cook. We're just doing some numbers on Henry previous break, because his yards per carry this year is the highest of his career by a full yard. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, by a full half yard. He had 5.4 once in Tennessee and 5.1 another season in Tennessee. Right now he's at 5.9. Henry in Tennessee had 4 seasons of under 4.5 yards per carry in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like, what we've seen out of Henry and Barkley are great running backs that went to a much better ecosystem.
Yeah.
And they flourished.
What's forgotten is he had a very slow start to his career. Like, his first two seasons, he combines for like 1,200 yards.
Yeah.
He was a second-round pick. So he wasn't even like, you know, Barkley was second overall, right? And McCaffrey was top 10. So he wasn't drafted super high. And then he kind of got out of the gate slow. He doesn't really break out until the end of his third season. He had 1,059 yards in that year. It looks like, just doing some quick math, he had half of that in the final four games.
Wow.
And the reason I remember that, like how slow a start, in his third season, I had the Dynasty League that we're in together. I traded for him, and the guy I gave up was David Moore.
Who's that?
Exactly. Like, depth receiver. I think he's on Carolina right now.
Yeah.
Like, just a nobody. And then, bam, he completely broke out. So, it's crazy. His rushing totals for his career, he's going to make up for it, I think, in his 30s, because it doesn't look like he's slowing down, but he didn't really break out until his third season.
803-0550, our phone number. On Fitz as legend of the game.
Did I see in a podcast he said he's going to take his shirt off?
I thought
I saw on his podcast maybe he confirmed that he's going to.
Well, okay.
I got to check that.
Whether or not he does. True or false question for both of you. Joe. You Joe and you Josh.
Uh-huh.
Fitz became a Bills legend at the Bills-Patriots perfect game. True or false? He was not a legend until he was in the stands shirtless. He was a player. He was beloved.
Yeah.
But he's a journeyman quarterback who didn't finish above 500. We weren't mad at him.
No,
we liked him, but he became a legend at that game with his shirt off. True or false?
I think that's true, because how he was like pretty well liked when he was here, and then it kind of just like boosted him more as he left and kept
he
talking
was just
about the Bills
in the stands.
And now, and then that happened, and it's like, oh, he's still like for Buffalo. Like, this is awesome,
right? Just somebody on a phone taking a picture, like, this guy is here with his shirt off, and that to me isn't that the best Fitz moment in Bills history? I'm not trying to take shots at him. What's his best moment otherwise?
One of the moments against the Patriots.
Okay,
in week three,
they beat the Patriots in week three. Okay.
Yeah. And they were down 20 in that game.
All right.
The Fitz scream. He throws a game-winning touchdown with like 10 seconds left
and lets out a David Nelson against the Raiders.
And then lets out the most high-pitched scream of all time.
Okay. The Fitz scream is in there too. I'm not trying to take anything away from his time here or whatever. Make fun of him. I'm just saying the moment he is shirtless in the stands is everything. Because if you're an impartial fan of the NFL and you see that, don't you immediately think, man, he's just at the Bills game?
Yeah.
Who else gets that?
He was maybe still in the league.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
He might have been done just that year. It's a little bit like Jason Kelce, and the legend status he got with the Eagles was, sure, being an all-time great player, but Jason Kelce at their parade when they win, giving a big, huge speech, and like it was every bit more about personality, as much personality as it was about his play on the field.
Yeah, he was the Dolphins' quarterback that year, and then the next year he went to Washington and only played one game. So
an active NFL player showed up at your game. He was on the Dolphins.
He was under contract with the Miami Dolphins.
I'm reading a retirement article from June of 2022. So that would have been the summer after the perfect game.
Yeah, so well before the year before. You're right. Sorry. So he would have been on the Commanders then at that point in time? What's the New England perfect game? Is that the 21 season?
It's the 2021 season, 22, yeah.
Okay, so sorry. He's under contract with the Commanders at that point in time. But still, he's an active NFL player. All right, when you first said it, I thought, no, he's got moments. He was beloved before that. But yeah, maybe that's when he became the ultimate legend.
That just like pushes him to legend status.
Or did he become a legend
right there?
Because listen,
or did he become a legend at the WGR roast?
He's a journeyman. He's played for a million. He also did a roast, and that was pretty legendary too. His roast of Fred Jackson. He did spend the most time here, right? He had success. He played for both other teams in the division.
Yep, by a lot. He played 25 more games. Well, I guess by a lot, 25 more games here than anywhere else.
Right. We kind of claim him as ours. He couldn't be a legend of the game for any other franchise, right? Like if they did
No.
He's ours.
Had he made the playoffs and beat the Bills to make it with the Jets that day, maybe he would, be beloved by the Jets.
Right.
But we took that from him. Do we regret that?
No.
I was in the stands actively, very passionately rooting against the Fitz and the Jets to make the playoffs that day, but he did never make the playoffs.
Right.
He got roasted by Richard Sherman this week?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, we allowed that to happen. We allowed him to be shamed in that way for the rest of his life.
Legend of the game, Fitz. Shirt off. It's got to be. He'll go
shirt off. Yeah, 100%. How will he do it, though? Will he come out shirtless, or will he take the shirt off while he's out there? Or will he, this would be the ultimate, rip it off like the Hulk? Does he have the strength to do that? How easy would it be to rip a T-shirt in half? I don't think I could do it.
He is.
You could probably buy like a lighter T-shirt, right? Like a
pre-ripped,
easy rip T-shirt.
Like how the CBS guys went through a pre-broken table.
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay.
The table was pre-broken.
Yeah, it was cracked underneath. You could see it. It wasn't a real
Fitz
table break.
Magic.
Yeah, I think he's gonna kill it. Doing Legend of the Game. If they host the AFC Championship against Houston, I said with Thurman there, like, they're playing for the right to go to Kansas City. I am assuming when saying that the Texans will lose, but if the Texans win and the Bills win, topping Fitz might be impossible.
One thing Fitz is not afraid to do, and this is good as a broadcaster, he's not afraid to go after current players and NFL figures.
Yeah.
Like Brady. He pretty much hates Brady, right?
I think he
goes
Brady.
After Brady all the time. But Patrick Mahomes.
Another reason he's become a Bills legend, by the way.
Well, you decided this is taking a shot at Patrick Mahomes, but Patrick Mahomes had he and his wife had another child.
Yep. Yeah, they had their third child, right?
Yes. The child's name is Golden. Okay.
Is it?
Yes.
Golden Mahomes?
Yes.
Is that a boy or a girl name?
Actually, that I don't know. But Mahomes is now a father of three.
Okay.
And
I'm looking at it now.
What Fitz said? So
yeah.
his
the list of suggestions for the fourth and fifth child?
That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Mahomes has three kids whose names are Bronze, Sterling, and Golden.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, and Fitz said, I feel bad for Bronze. He tweeted, I feel bad for Bronze.
Yeah.
Bronze, Sterling, and Golden.
Yeah, that's true. Hey.
Name your kids whatever you want.
He then tweeted, all name suggestions welcome for fourth and fifth kids. I'll start. Diamond, Rusty Can, Tinsel, Participation Trophy, Scrap Metal, Ironsides, and Rhodium.
Yeah. This is a man who is not afraid.
Participation Trophy Mahomes can be shortened to Pat, he said.
Yeah. Got a tweet from a Bills listener and someone who saw Fitz at that perfect game. He was also tailgating in Hammer's lot. It was just, hey, that's Fitz. Yeah.
He said, how about Obsidian? Maybe his friends call him OB. Wow, his Twitter is gold.
I'm telling you, yeah. there are no prisoners.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe. Coming up, 9 o'clock, Luke Jones on the Ravens. We talked to him back in September. We'll check in, on Ravens Bills from Baltimore side of things, top of the hour. Worst Call Wednesday coming up at 8:45. Don't miss it. If you were at the Bills game, you might have missed this. One of the dumbest moments in football this season happened during the Bills game. We'll make that a part of Worst Call Wednesday coming up at 8:45.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Well, when it's 8 degrees, my mindset is always, I'm going to deliver the blow. I'm not going to let the defensive player deliver the bro. I'm going to deliver the bro because I have the football and I know where I'm going and I know that I can get guys off balance and really deliver a nice blow to them. So I'm going to advantage for the running backs.
Thurman Thomas joined us in the 8 o'clock segment. If you want to go back and listen to that, ask him about James Cook and Derrick Henry, all the good stuff in the year of the running back. Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
The sun is out.
Sun's out.
Look at that. Blue skies.
Beautiful. Want to play a fun game?
Sure.
It's not that long.
Yeah.
Boston Globe. Chris Price, Boston Globe. I'm reading this just now.
Mm-hmm.
Laying out the path forward for the Patriots. This is going to involve the Bills here.
Okay.
Lists free agents the Patriots should be targeting.
Okay.
10 pending UFAs who could appeal to the Patriots.
Okay.
Which Buffalo Bill appears on this list? Everybody out there might not quite know all the pending UFAs off the top of your head. That might be, you know,
right.
A couple weeks after the season kind of thing. But there's one that I think we all kind of know.
How about Amari Cooper?
Correct.
Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper is who Chris Price labels as someone the Patriots should think about targeting in free agency.
Okay. Not Diggs?
No.
They're not getting Diggs anyway.
Right. Also, he's coming off an injury. That's going to be tough. Like, Cooper is a veteran, right? Don't they want some probably veterans around Drake May?
Probably.
That's going to be an easy teammate, which Cooper has been. That might come down to, for Cooper, how far they go this year. I mean, he, as a part of this Bills team, he's been pretty quiet. Like a Matt Milano level of quiet is Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Doesn't say much. One thing he did say is he's experienced joy with this team this year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
being part of a winner. I don't know if the Bills will want him back or what the price will be to get him back. I don't want the Bills to pay too much for Amari Cooper.
Yeah, what is the price on him?
I have no idea.
Like, it's tough to figure out. Like, he is not really vital, I'll say. I don't want to say he's not important, but he's not vital. I mean, he was fifth on the receiving group in snaps in their playoff game.
Right.
Fifth. Like, he still played, you know, everybody plays a little, right? That's the everybody. So he plays, what, 36% or something? Or maybe it was less than that. Maybe it was 30. But I'm not giving him, I don't even care. If they win the Super Bowl, like, I'm not going to want to give him $20 million a year.
No.
To do what? He's going to come catch 40 passes for me? Like, I think he's still good. I think it was a good trade to bring him in because that was about as good as you could do then, other than Devontae Adams, maybe. So I'm glad they did it, and I think he does provide a value. Like, for this game, if you know, the things that are different from week four to now, that Ravens game, they just dared the Bills to throw to the outside, and they could not do it.
Right. He wasn't on the team.
Right, and if they were to do that again and say, we're going to take away Dalton Kincaid and Ty Johnson out of the backfield. Like, we're going to take away the middle. Go ahead, throw to the outsides. Let's see if you could do it. Like, I would think I need Cooper then for a game like that. Or would at least want him.
Who knows?
But I'm not re-signing him to $20 million a year.
No, maybe the Patriots will.
Right. And they've needed receiver for 5 years and haven't been able to get one, right. So they would overpay.
They would need more than just Cooper, too. They might want, like, you know, T. Higgins. T. Higgins is probably the biggest name in the free agent market at receiver. Anyway, on Cooper, you know, you mentioned this about a stat about Allen, how when they need him to go nuclear, he's shown he can. How about this? You tell me what number this is. I'm going to list a series of numbers. Mm-hmm. 5-2-3-3-0-2-3-14.
Oh, it's got to be targets.
It is.
Yeah.
14 the 14 targets,
six, the 14 six out
against the Rams.
Yeah.
That is the most targets any player got on the Bills this year in a game. It's got to be 14 Ooh. Targets in a game. Again, that's a shootout. He catches 6 for 95, but in a certain spot, you know, Joe Brady, it's everybody eats, all that. There might be a Cooper game coming somewhere where everybody eats all the time. Oh, wait, we've got ourselves in one. We like this matchup. We need a guy that is the best to win on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be the high of the year. And he was that a little bit in Cleveland last year, right? Like, he was, you look at the end of his season in Cleveland where, like, it was pretty modest. 4 for 34. This is receptions and then yards. 4 for 34, 2 for 16, 3 for 34, right?
Yeah.
And then 14 targets, 7 for 77. Not that efficient, but okay, 14 targets. 4 for 109 and a touchdown. 11 for 265 and two touchdowns. That's the massive game in the fantasy playoffs. Like, he could be, sure, if they want to give you the outside and dare you to do it, like, I do think he probably is their biggest threat still. Like, Coleman gives you the jump balls, but he's not getting open with regularity.
He's not getting separation.
He's not getting separation.
He's winning at the catch point a good amount, but yeah.
And then Hollins is Hollins. He's fine. He's doing his job. But, like, if I needed somebody to be a huge part of the game plan and it had to be those type of throws, like, Cooper's your number one still. That would be if, like, and really the name I should have mentioned, like, if they take Shakir away in the middle.
Yeah. 14 targets just, like, stands out there, like, poof. It's a big number. So Cooper's a free agent. Matt Collins a free agent. I don't know about either one of those two. Hollins probably be a lot cheaper. Cooper, I don't know.
It's been weird. It's been a weird, yeah, this not is even weird in a bad way. It's just been a weird existence, him on the Bills.
Yeah, and this is, of course, like, we've all got our things we're confident in the Bills about and things we're nervous about. Defensively, I've got my share of concerns. Offensively, that Cooper 14-target game stands out because one of the questions about the Bills is if they get in a game like that, do they have someone that Allen will feed? And everybody eats will go out the window because we have a guy they can't stop.
Yeah.
Rather than scheme is always perfect, You know, sometimes they match the scheme. Sometimes they have some answers, and it becomes about the Jimmys and Joes, and it becomes about can Amari Cooper beat his man? If he does, we'll throw him the ball 15 times.
There have been 5 instances this year of a Bill getting double-digit targets in a game.
Okay.
You remember any of them other than the Cooper one?
No. Shakir probably in maybe Seattle.
Shakir had, yes, 10 against Seattle. He went 9 for 107.
Yep.
He also had 12 targets against the Chiefs and went 8 for 70. And then Coleman had 10 targets against New England in Week 18.
That doesn't count.
He went 2 for 31. And then Kincaid had 10 against Miami and went 4 for 32. Mm. Yeah, that's not great.
803-0550. Worst call Wednesday. Were you at the Bills game? You were? Did you miss? Did people tell you about the dumbest moment in football history possibly happening during the game? Yeah, well, we'll get you that. It's Worst Call Wednesday coming up.
Time now for Worst Call Wednesday. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, time for Worst Call Wednesday, where we get to the worst call on the field, in the booth, whatever. One of the worst calls you can make is to skip your recommended cancer screenings. To learn more about potentially life-saving screening recommendations and guidelines, visit roswellpark.org/screening. Now, I am a glutton for punishment, might be the right phrase here, because I found out that something happened during the game on Sunday. It was at the game. And I went back to the NFL's Game Pass, and I went rewind, and I went ahead and I listened to it because I needed to hear it for myself. Why? Because I want to get mad about things sometimes. We all like to get mad sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you tweet at Ravens fans to argue with them. Mm-hmm. Dolphins fans. Anyway. So, all right, take it away. Bill Vinovich, Jim Nance, Tony Romo, and our main man, Gene Steratore, with the worst call of the week.
Here's the penalty. When you get up, can't step over him like that. That'll be called taunting.
So there's confusion on the stadium board here about what down it is, but it's a first and 10 here, Gene.
Yeah, you know, Jim, you try to defend Hollins and say he's got to step somewhere, but I think when he does get up, he lifts, emphatically lifts, and then kind of stomps that foot across the defender's body. They're going to call that. They don't want that to occur right now in this game. That's a great point. The way he steps over matters. It's a great call, Jim.
Mac Hollins flagged for
Romo at the end.
That's a great point.
That's a great point.
It really was.
Is there anything he could... Could he have said anything there and Romo have said, yeah, that's a great point?
No one in that booth can just say, like, Gene, you can't be serious, man. What are we doing here?
Right.
I realize you got to step somewhere, guys, but that is an emphatic leg lift.
Is it Collinsworth? One of these guys will once in a while be like, that's bad. Like, you can't do that. Like, someone will go against the rules analyst. I don't think Romo's the one, though. Emphatically
it's a great
lifts.
Point. It's a great point, Gene. We actually had a rules. How about, I mean, like, listen, the slow drip of nonstop rules analysts, of course, if you listen to us, you know it drives me nuts. Here's Jim Nance. She's like, yeah, what do you think, Gene? This guy's so present in our lives. It's like talking to Siri. And you just say it, or Alexa. You just say it, and Gene's right there with his answer.
Yeah.
Just do it in your house. What do you think, Gene? This cup of coffee done yet? Oh, hold on. Let me take a look. I mean, everything about it, that he's just ever present in our lives to tell us, you need a rules analyst for an emphatic leg lift? Shouldn't we get some sort of dance instructor instead? Who is Gene to decide what's emphatic and what's not? Emphatic leg lift.
Mm-hmm. He did stomp on the guy after.
He didn't stomp on him, did
he?
He stepped over him.
In soccer, he would have got a red card.
He stepped on him?
Yeah, I think he kind of, like, not like, maybe stomp is a little aggressive.
Who are you, Gene Steratore here?
No, right. I'm not using language like emphatic.
You're saying it's not a stomp, but it's a...
Yeah.
Step?
It's a step. Yeah, he stepped on him. He pushed his head, and then... It was more of a kick, actually, than it was a... Now I'm doing the Gene Steratore thing. But again, do we need Gene Steratore? Romo could be doing this.
Romo could just do that.
Romo could just do it.
Anybody could do it. No one could do it. The official could just say the words, and then that's the end of it. The official explains... Officials explain the calls to us.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Worst Call Wednesday. A.J. Brown read a book on the sideline. He says he's been doing that all the time and that they just noticed.
Yeah, another worst call Wednesday could have been Colin Cowherd claiming that Nick Sirianni can't control his sideline because A.J. Brown was reading a book. That could have probably qualified, I think.
The book was 1,000 Ways to Show Nick Sirianni You Love Him, though. Maybe Nick Sirianni wouldn't be so mad about that. I don't know. All right, when we get back, some Ravens chatter. Luke Jones is going to join us. We'll check in on Baltimore's side of things as preparation continues. Sean McDermott speaking today. It's media day down at One Bills Drive. It's bulletin board day, maybe. Both these teams probably try to avoid it. And we'll see if some Ravens fans can make up things that didn't happen, like, you know, Matt Milano talking trash, whatever. It's Jeremy and Joe on WGR.